All right, hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. Very special edition today. Welcome to week three. If you listened to our week three preview show, you heard we had some pretty weird takes on the games. It was a much more exciting day than we had ever anticipated. So many great games to get to. If we did a whole show about them on Tuesday, we would probably go for about 2 hours, and that doesn't make for very good podcasting. So we're going to do a brief show tonight, try to keep it to under 40 minutes. Right now, the Redskins and the Raiders are going on, so we'll save that talk more for Tuesday. But at the moment, the Redskins are blowing out the Raiders 21-0. If anything really exciting happens in this game, we'll get to it while we're doing our podcast. But to start, let's just get right into it. Some really exciting games. Of course, the elephant in the room is about the protest. We're going to have a much more in-depth conversation about that on Tuesday with our friend John Butler and perhaps another guest from Pro Sports Fandom, because we had a great conversation in our group chat about it. Really civil, gave me some real hope for where our democracy can go when we can all
Well,
get along and speak about a subject like this. And I know I'm going to hold you off, Chris, and save you for Tuesday.
all I was going to say is there's some exciting takes. You're going to want to listen to Tuesday's show.
Yeah. So let's get right to it. Let's get to your team first, the Falcons and the Lions, in what has to be a candidate for game of the year. This game early in the first quarter looked like it was going to be a blowout for the Falcons, up 21-7 at one point. But Matt Ryan, three interceptions. One of them was his fault, threw a pick six to Dan Quinn, did not see him coming, stared down Julio Jones. But Chris, you watched this game real closely. You had to take on the other two picks.
Yes. Two of the three picks. One was picked off on a tipped interception to Glover Quinn. That pick was tipped by Mohamed Sanu. And the other one, I can't remember the defender's name, but Taylor Gabriel could have caught the ball. He had it up there. He just tipped it. I think Matt Ryan threw it a little high, but it still could have been caught, and it got tipped, and just an unlucky play, really. I mean, but the other interception was the pick six. That was clearly Matt Ryan's fault. I don't know what he was thinking. I really don't. The defender was right there on I think it was Taylor Gabriel. That was unexcusable. But the other two, I'm not going to put all the blame on Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, quick score update. The Redskins just nailed I believe, a field goal, and score is now 24-0. But yeah,
I think he
that
missed it.
game. Oh, he did miss it. My apologies. But yeah, I thought it was just a heartbreaking loss for the Lions. Almost broke the plane. Golden Tate had his knee down at about the 1 yard line. He couldn't quite stretch the ball over the plane before it ended. And then the 10-second runoff call. I was very excited, but my major takeaway is the Atlanta Falcons defense. They showed him they won the game in week one. They shut down the Packers in week two. And they made Matthew Stafford look the way he looked before he got Jim Bob Cooter. He didn't make any major mistakes, but he wasn't allowed to pass for over 200 yards, and he was only allowed to throw one touchdown. The reason
Well,
that.
he threw for 264 yards.
Oh, my apologies. Yeah, he. But. You get my point. He wasn't allowed to
Yes.
make big plays and throw a lot of touchdowns. And
Well,
the reason for me that that Detroit even had a choice in this game to stay as close as it was, a chance rather, sorry, pardon my language. I'm a little bit stuttery tonight for some reason, but was because of how well the Detroit defense played. And we got on them a lot in the off season, and oh, it's the Cardinals, not a big deal. Oh, it's the Giants, not a big deal. But they, even though the scoreline doesn't show it, they force turnovers on the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, it does show it. I mean, they had 10 points off of three Matt Ryan interceptions. And I know you were talking, but I guess I'll go ahead and finish my point. It's inexcusable to lose. This might be a hot take or maybe not fully correct take, but it's inexcusable. I don't care what happens. If the other opposing quarterback throws three interceptions, you should, and your quarterback throws no interceptions and doesn't turn the ball over, you shouldn't lose the football game. I know the way they lost it was highly questionable. I don't agree with the ruling. The rule's there. It happened. The 10-second runoff. I'm not going to say that the short line should have won the football game, but I am going to say that they should have had a chance on fourth down and goal to win the football game. I know it was not a touchdown. That play was not a touchdown, but they should have had another chance. But going back to that, I don't see how, with three interceptions, how you lose, or you get three interceptions on defense, how you lose the football game.
Well, the answer is that the Falcons defense, and spoiler alert, I'm putting out a lot of stuff on the site this week, one of which will be a defensive ranking. Spoiler alert, the Falcons are going to make the top 10 because I truly believe that this Falcons team has a top 10 defense. They have great pass rushers. Desmond Trufant is a fantastic corner. They've got a solid secondary. They have they have the pieces for a defense that when your offense makes mistakes, you can hold the offense to fewer yards. And the answer to your question, Chris, is because the Detroit Lions, for as good as Matthew Stafford has played and as few mistakes as he has made, no running game.
Right. They don't. Yes, I would agree with you. But still, I mean, two of the three interceptions were on Detroit was in the Atlanta's, beyond Atlanta's field position. I mean, they should have easily scored, in my opinion, somehow. I mean, one interception they shouldn't have, the one that Taylor Gabriel tipped, but the other two, one was a pick six, yes, I know, and then the other one, you have to turn that into points. You do, especially when you don't.
I don't chalk that up to the Lions offense. I chalk that up to the Falcons defense. And moving on, because we could argue about this all day. Prater. Kicking, man. Matt Prater had a great day as a kicker. 4 for 4, 2 extra points, put up 14 of the 30 points. I pound the table for kickers every week, but if you have the chance to pick up Matt Prater and for some reason he's on your waiver wire, pick him up. If you are in a league where your league doesn't pay attention to kickers, which, hate to break it to you, is 75% of the leagues in America, trade your kicker for Matt Prater. I guarantee you the guy will accept the trade, and guess what? You're going to have a grade A kicker on your team. So that's my one kicker takeaway from this game.
But there's some news coming out of the Washington game. Washington just fumbled the punt return, and Oakland has it on the Washington 20.
Yeah, that is – speaking of turnovers, let's move on to a game chock full of turnovers, Denver and Buffalo. Oh. As a Broncos fan, this game – was entirely disappointing to me. It was probably the worst game of Trevor Siemian's career. I've never seen him play as badly as he did, and that's weird to say because his first half was amazing. He had several deep throws that were great. A throw to Emmanuel Sanders that, by the way, should have been a catch. If you go back on Game Pass, or I'm sure it'll show up on Twitter somewhere, he had a deep pass to Emmanuel Sanders that Sanders clearly brought down to the ground with him. The defender punched it out while he was on the ground. He hadn't been down yet. It should have been a fumble and a recovery by Sanders, and the reception and the yardage gain should have counted, but they called it an incompletion. It's absolutely ridiculous that this league cannot find a way to decide what is a catch and what is not a catch. It's infuriating as a fan to watch games and as someone who tries to write analysis on games when you can't tell what the hell's a catch and no one really knows what's a catch. But back to the way the Broncos played, Trevor Siemian in the second half looked like a completely different quarterback. His arm looked weak. I kind of wondered if he had an injury, honestly. He made two really bad throws where he should have just thrown it out of bounds, but he threw it inbounds and it got picked off on the sideline both times. And that allowed for Buffalo to score. And while the first half, the Denver defense played really well, the Denver run defense in the second half broke down. And maybe it's just because it's LeSean McCoy, but I mean, you got to give credit to the Buffalo Bills. Tyrod Taylor especially. The guy is the hardest quarterback to bring down. I don't care what you say, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor has the best pocket movement and out-of-pocket movement in the NFL. The guy is impossible to bring down. And Von Miller had a boneheaded penalty where he faked out helping up Tyrod Taylor. I had no clue why they called it a penalty, but I guess I could see how it was a BS way to give the Buffalo Bills a first down that really won them the game. And they go, the bright side is they go back to Denver next week, where they are very hard to play against a Raiders team that is coming off a struggle against a Washington defense that isn't as great as they should be. So that's going to be a really exciting game, but I'm super disappointed with the way the Broncos played this week.
I would agree with you on offense. I'm not going to get into their defense. I think their defense will straighten themselves out. The Buffalo Bills put up a good game. But for me, my takeaway of this game is the Denver Broncos offense is so inconsistent. Like, one week they'll play extremely well, and then one week they'll just drop down to, I mean, to nothing. I mean, this is why they lost last season. This is why they went 500. Because they were so inconsistent on offense. Trevor Siemian, inconsistent. Now, he was injured at the end of the year. I'll give you that. And I thought I was wrong. I want to see, if he's injured going into game four. And then B, if he's not injured, see how he's going to play. If he's not injured, then I expect a good game from Trevor Siemian against that Oakland Raiders defense that we know is just awful. It's not the worst, but it's awful. I want to see what happens next week. I'm not going to write the Denver Broncos off yet, but I'm going to wait and see.
I think you're underrating the Raiders defense. They have a good pass rush, and against an offensive line that really struggled, I'd say that the Broncos might have some trouble with them. Go ahead.
Well, I would tell you, I think the Raiders defense isn't good enough to completely we should not see this again next week from Trevor Siemian. And that's what I'm saying. I need to see improvement going into the next week. There is no reason for him to have zero touchdowns for two interceptions. It's just next week it's going to be unexcusable. Unless he's injured.
Okay, so here's my point defending Trevor Siemian. He had a bad week, but it's 1 week. And I would say that the number one thing I was shocked about in this game was the Broncos' refusal to run the ball. They ran the ball 16 times between C.J. Anderson and Jamal Charles. Last week, C.J. Anderson got 29 touches. The problem was that the Denver running game was working, but Mike McCoy, I hate to say it, But you cannot have Trevor Siemian throw 40 passes in a game.
Nope.
You're right. At this state, I'm not saying he's going to be a game manager for the rest of his career, but at this stage, he is kind of a game manager, probably a little bit above a game manager, but he can't win you a game. You have to have the rest of your offense working around you. And when the pass defense from rookies like Tre'Davious White is so on the wide receivers, you have to run the ball more. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I'm not really going to. But I do want to ask you, do you think we underrated the Buffalo Bills? So far, based on what we've seen, we put them at like dead last besides the New York Jets.
Did we underrate them? Yes. Is rating them as a top 15 too high? Absolutely.
They
are not a top 15 team, but they're not a bottom two team. Moving on to a team that I believe with a win today moved themselves out of the discussion of a bottom two team is the New York Jets. And let me just say, let's just talk about what happened with New York. More specifically, Miami. I was a big proponent of supporting Jay Cutler, but when you struggle against the Jets defense, and I get it, their front half is really good, and they shut down Jay Ajayi and the run, which I was kind of shocked with. Their run defense is good, but it's not that good. And you have a weak secondary like the Jets do. You should not throw picks. And I believe he threw for, let me double check. Can you double check the stats for me here?
One and one.
What?
One interception.
How many yards?
For 220. You're talking about Jay Cutler, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's deceiving yardage because I watched some of the film from this game and it was on short little dump off screen passes. You should be able to march up and down the field. You should not be blown out by the Jets. You shouldn't, period. Just like that shouldn't be a thing that happens to you as a team.
I would also like to add that 60 yards of that was garbage time because he did throw a touchdown to Devontae Parker for 60 yards.
Yeah. What really impressed me in this game was Josh McCown. And I get it, he's not going to be this way all year, but you can count on one or two games like this from him a year where he just shows up and he had a great deep ball touchdown for like 67 yards. Update, I believe, or maybe I'm seeing this wrong. I believe that the – hold on. We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
But my question for you, Chris, is – how many games do you think the Jets – oh, wait, hold on. Here is the update. The Washington Redskins, a big gain to Chris Thompson on a screenplay all the way down to the 5-yard. Looks like they're going to score again. My question for you, Chris, is this Jets team, what do you make of them? And I don't – of course, we're not going to go out and we're going to say, oh, they're going to make the playoffs. But because they're not. But do you think they can win 5 games?
Let me look at their schedule real quick. I'm looking at it right now. Let's see. You got Jaguars. I see them winning that one. Browns probably could win that one. Possibly. I'm not going to – Browns are improved. But you look at them. They lost to the Indianapolis Colts today, which were a joke. Let's see. No. I see about 4 games. I could – maybe 5 games they have to luck up. But like you said, Josh McCown, you're always going to have one or two good games at least. One or two good games that kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick did in New York. He had a couple of good games, but most of his games he just stuck up the joint. I would say he's probably going to have about 4 games that keep the Jets in the game, but their defense is really what's going to keep them in games. If their defense plays like it did today, which I would put part of the blame on Jay Cutler, they could stay in some games, and I don't think they could win 6-7 games, but I could see 5 maybe. But right now, I'd say 4-12 is about like their maximum potential. But on the Miami Dolphins, this was just an embarrassment. I don't have too much to say. I think I was wrong on them making the playoffs. I told you earlier on Twitter that they were a 500 team. And I still believe they're a 500 team that could get lucky, win an extra game or two, get them into the playoffs, maybe. But they're looking more of like a 8-8, maybe 6-10 team. I think I'm wrong on them making the playoffs.
Moving on to the next game we want to talk about here, the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans. I watched the end of this game, and let me tell you, people need to stop worrying about Tom Brady, because the guy, while getting hit by J.J. Watt, threw to Brandon Cooks a toe-tapping end zone grab. It was probably the best throw I've seen all year from a quarterback. Rob Gronkowski continues to look like a beast. It's so impressive to me that with as few players as they have on offense, it would seem, with all the injuries they have, how good they still are. What's one major takeaway about you from this game?
The Houston Texans defense has taken so long to get into the groove that I'm not sure that the Houston Texans defense is what it was. Tom Brady, J.J. Watt and company couldn't get to Tom Brady today that often. They didn't sack him, if I'm correct. I don't think they got a sack, did they? Let me look at that.
No, they didn't.
They didn't. This is very – well, it says they got a couple. But either way, they've taken them so long to get into the groove. I'm worried if the Texans defense doesn't get into groove soon, then they're not going to win the division. They're not going to win eight games.
So moving on to Bengals Packers, this was a game that really a story of two different teams. The Bengals in this game started out really hot, came out, scored 21 points, and then they just shut down. It was really a reflection of their season. They showed up. They fired their offensive coordinator earlier in the week, hiring Bill Lazor to be their coordinator. And Lazor made it work for about two quarters. But then Aaron Rodgers came back and did what Aaron Rodgers does. And let me just say, for as good as Tom Brady is, it is crazy that at this point, we expect Aaron Rodgers to make the throws he does. Just these crazy sideline toe-tapping throws to his receivers that only they can get. The way he evades pressure, I get it. He started the season slow, and usually he does. And I was kind of worried about that at about halftime of this game, but I think he shook it off. And at this point, with the way the rest of the league is playing, I'm confident to say that now Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback playing in the league right now. I get that what I just said about Tom Brady, but if I had to vote 3 weeks in, I'd say Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. And we should expect that kind of play from him for the rest of the year. He had his 2 week slump where we're like, oh, is Aaron Rodgers still Aaron Rodgers? He's struggling early in the season. Now, until the playoffs, it's going to be what we've come to expect from Aaron Rodgers. This game was just a full out showing of that.
This is what I expected from Aaron Rodgers as well. The Cincinnati Bengal defense is better than we were giving them credit for, I think. But goodness, they always find a way to lose. Always. Always find. They're like the Chargers, kind of. Not. I wouldn't say they lose the same way. The Chargers lose in worse ways. But they always find a way to lose. And I think this is the best 0-3 team. However, I don't think they're going to – I don't see any way for them to start winning soon because they have no momentum. But let me get back to Aaron Rodgers. My thing is a quarterback's always going to have one to three bad games. They're bound to have a bad game. And it's okay, and we over-panic every time. Every time we – I think with Aaron Rodgers, we panic the least because we always know he's going to come back. He's going to come back. But for me, what this boiled down to also is the fact that Cincinnati started scoring this week. As we know, they haven't been scoring touchdowns. They've been sticking it up. But I think the offensive coordinator change was huge for the Cincinnati Bengals. It was a big momentum. It brought some momentum to the program, or the team, excuse me. And I think that was the biggest difference for the Cincinnati Bengals that we saw today that we haven't seen. The fact that they finally fired that man that they didn't score a touchdown under.
I would say that my reason for their offensive success, two words, Joe Mixon. They finally started handing the ball to Joe Mixon. And although the numbers don't show it, every time he touched the ball, he made something happen. He reminds me a lot of Lev Bell, where he has that kind of style where he'll just stop at the line and he'll just wait and he'll find where to go and then he'll jump outside and run for the first down. Andy Dalton in this game, in the first half, looked like the Andy Dalton we saw in 2014 when he had his career year. But for Dalton, it's inconsistency. In overtime, in the fourth quarter, in the second half, they scored 3 points. That's the simplicity of it.
That's why they lost.
Yeah, they had a great first half, and the second half, it was a completely different team. So, while I see your point, I don't think they're going to score more points. I think they're going to fall back into what they used to be. I would not be shocked if they only score one touchdown next week.
Yeah, but I'm saying that we saw improvement. Not saying that they're going to score 35 points, be the top best offense in the league. They're not. But they looked better this week than they did under the former offensive coordinator, and I couldn't tell you his name because I don't know it. But that's besides the point. For me, then we have to also consider that this isn't a great Green Bay Packers defense either. So,
yeah, I would say that the Packers defense, we didn't expect a lot from them, but 3 weeks into the season, I think they're playing a lot better than I expected. They're not a great defense. They're not a top 10 defense, but they're kind of a middle of the road defense, like I'd say 15 to 20 range. They aren't going to hurt their team anymore, but they aren't going to win the Packers games.
Yeah. Now, off of this, really, I forgot that, or I didn't ask this earlier. You said earlier that you thought the Jets with this win wasn't the bottom two team. Well, then who do you think the bottom two teams are? I'm just curious. I want to.
Right now, I know. This is delving into. A game that you mentioned earlier. I hate to say it, but the worst team in the league are the Browns. Like, I get that you came back and almost won, but the key word there is almost. You should not allow 31 points to Jacoby Brissett any week. Maybe yeah. Jacoby Brissett is a great quarterback, and this is just the start, but we've seen Brissett play three games, and in two of them he was mediocre, and in this one he threw, I believe it was three touchdowns. Yeah, he in oh a t- one touchdown, but the Frank Gore ran for a touchdown as well, and from a defense that it wasn't the offense as much as it was the defense, which people were praising through the first 2 weeks, and it completely broke down. DeShone Kizer didn't take as many sacks, but he threw three interceptions, which is the most he's thrown all season. It just seems like for this Browns team, it's one step forward, three steps back. There's no progress to be shown, and I don't know where you go, because firing the coach isn't the option, and firing the GM isn't the right thing to do, but
they've already tried that.
What do you tell your fans who have really bought into this? We're going to have another 1-15, 2-14 season after people got really excited about us in the preseason and people thought we could win 5 or 6 games? Like, they're the worst team in the league. The second worst team in the league. Hold on. You put me on the spot. Let me go to the standings here really quick.
Okay, all I was gonna say is we haven't seen the Cardinals play. They play tomorrow night on Monday Night Football. That's all I was gonna add.
I wouldn't say that the Cardinals are the worst team. I'd say they're bottom five, but they're not the worst team. I'd say the worst team in the league right now, this is going to be shocking to a lot of people, but the worst team in the league right now, and I know I'm going to catch a little bit of flack for this, but is the New York Giants. I get, and this is a great segue into this game, which I watched a little bit of the end of. The Giants, I flipped back and forth between the Broncos and the Eagles-Giants. The Eagles dominated this game in the first half. They walked up and down the field, and although the scoreline doesn't show it, the Giants' offense could not get going at all. But then in the second half, and I don't want this to spur a debate, I'm just going to say this, so just hold your tongue. Then in the second half, they got Odell Beckham involved, and it showed why Odell Beckham, while he might not be the best wide receiver overall in the league, he's certainly the most valuable in the league. Because if you take Antonio Brown away from the Steelers, they're still going to compete. If you take Julio Jones away from the Falcons, they're still going to compete. You take Odell Beckham away from the Giants, they're not going to compete. I get that this game was close, but it's inexcusable the fact that with Odell Beckham, you can't move this team down the field and score a touchdown. And the game-winning pass that went off Odell Beckham's hand that forced the Giants to kick a field goal was not Odell's fault. Eli threw a high pass, and it tipped off Odell Beckham's hand. He had to dive forward to try to catch it, and he couldn't make the spectacular one-handed grab. Eli Manning is the worst quarterback in the league. It's an unpopular opinion, and I can't believe people don't have it, but you have to bench him. Like, I get that the offensive line is terrible, but he doesn't have the arm strength. He's not a good NFL quarterback. The Giants are the worst team in the league. I get that you're probably going to say the Chargers are the worst team in the league. They're not. They're the best. I'd say they, in my opinion, they are the best 0-3 team. But that's where I stand on the bottom two teams in the league. And by the way, Kicker of the Week award goes to Jake Elliott. Man, rookie kicker. He missed two kicks a little bit earlier. Doug Peterson, trust him, put him out for a 61-yard field goal. He kicks it. He puts it right through. He's the hero in Philadelphia. I love the kid. I've been rooting for him since they put him in. Giorgio Tavecchio is my guy, but Jake Elliott is my guy from the NFC, and I'm just super happy to see him make a game win. But I know that is so much more than what we talked about. I'll throw you this next question. Last thing we're going to talk about tonight. Chicago.
Well, you have something. Yes, I have 3 points to make.
Okay. I'll shut up and take a back seat.
First off, I would say that you're wrong about Eli Manning, and the reason why is I think any quarterback in that situation behind that offensive line, which is probably the worst in the league, if Seattle's isn't, New York Giants is, I don't think any quarterback would perform well. Yes, I think he's getting older. His arm strength is getting worse. I mean, but for me, Odell is this offense. It's not Eli. It's not Sterling Shepard. It's none of these people. It is Odell Beckham Jr. We saw what they didn't do with, or what they did do, or we saw what they didn't do without Odell, which is nothing. But he got it in the zone twice with that one one-handed catch. Oh my goodness, he is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, if not the best. And if he's not the best, I'll agree with you, he is the most valuable. And I'm actually going to agree with you. I'm not going to say they're the worst team. I would agree with you with the Browns being the worst team, but I think they're the bottom five. They're on the bottom five of worst teams. And the reason I say that is their defense, it doesn't look as good as it did last year. I'm just going to be flat out honest. Their defense looked dominant. This year they don't. That's because they don't have the offense. And I would say that if we're going to rank offenses, they're the worst offense in the league. And I think that pretty much ends my point. But that was an unexcusable loss. This team has potential to have the worst record in the league, along with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, a quick update on the game for Raiders. Just kicked the field goal. It's 10-24, Redskins. Moving on to a game that I'm going to throw mainly to you, because I've only seen the clips and heard the analysis on it. The Bears beating the Steelers, all I'll say is I'm not surprised by this. I said this before the game. I said it all week. I don't know why I picked the Steelers, because I was believing the Bears would win this game. The Steelers are a lock to go on the road once a year and lose to one of the worst teams in the league. Last year, at the time, it was Miami. The year before that, they lost in Cleveland. I don't know. It's hard to explain, and it's why they never get the number one seed, and it's why they always go to Foxborough, and it is why the Patriots always beat them, and it's why they won't win a Super Bowl until they make some kind of change, because Mike Tomlin's teams can't win on the road. And maybe that's a Mike Tomlin issue. Maybe it's just, I don't know what the issue is. Maybe it's just bad luck.
Well, the fact that I agree with you that we know Mike Tomlin teams or the Pittsburgh Steelers have lost one game that they shouldn't lose, that they're favored by 10 plus to. And this game doesn't mean much to me. I picked the Steelers, but I thought the Bears could win, but it's quite obvious. We know the Bears aren't better than Steelers. The team is clearly worse than the Steelers, but I think they had protests and everything on their mind. We'll talk about that later on Tuesday. But I think between that and with everything going on and the fact that they're on the road, they already lose one game a week or one game a year on the road to one of the worst teams in the NFL. This game doesn't mean much to me. The Bears are going to be the Bears. They're going to go back down. They're going to lose to whoever they play to next. They'll probably lose their next five games, and that'll be that. And the Steelers will start to see improvement from here. Oh, yeah, they play the Packers next week. They're going to lose. Vikings lost. Ravens look terrible.
They don't play the Packers next week. Just a correction. They play the Ravens.
They play the Bears play the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said the Steelers.
That's all, man. The Bears are going to lose their next five games, probably. Except for the Ravens. The Ravens game might be interesting because the Ravens stink. And we found that out this week.
We don't know that yet. Blake Bortles has had fluky games before, and delving kind of into that game. Not a whole lot, because I woke up, honestly, at 9 o'clock my time, TM in our group message that, oh, hey guys, Blake Bortles has thrown three touchdowns, and the Jaguars are beating down on I'm surprised that the defense was able to mediocre offense. I'm surprised with Blake Bortles. One game a year, excited. That was the week one where they all beat ready judgment on that. And we're what we talk about.
Well, I would. I'll let you
just overall on this Sunday.
From the Sunday? Really, my final thought is this: we need to stop saying that we think, or I shouldn't say that. We need to stop thinking that all weeks that are going to be bad, or the weeks that are, these are going to be boring. Like, we thought this weekend was going to be a boring weekend. We apparently need to stop that, because all games in the NFL are going to be close, except for, I mean, we have three or four games that aren't close, but a lot of games are going to be close or surprises like that.
Yeah, back to back. By the way, Eric's existential football crisis, kind of a rant piece I write over. All right, it's kind of the NFL. Back-to-back weeks, those have come back to bite me. I wrote one about bad events. We got a great TNF game, and then I wrote about how the schedule and they should stop putting bad games together. And guess what? We have probably the most exciting Sunday. I won't lie. Last year, I didn't think there was a Sunday that was nearly as exciting. But I agree.
I guess, in other words, I should say that every Sunday that we think is going to be a boring weekend ends up being one of the best weekends of, or the best Sundays of all, of the year.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight, Chris. Hopefully you guys enjoy. We'll have this out late Sunday morning. Come back next Tuesday or Wednesday for a episode where we'll talk more about the games we didn't cover here tonight, and there are a lot of exciting things. And of course, we will delve more into the issues of the protest and the kind of president has made, or maybe not. We haven't really decided yet, but we will be back either Tuesday or Wednesday. Until then, peace out. Have a good night. And hey, guess what? And good night, everyone.